There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Today, we actually have two very special guests with us, Jim and Jamie Shields. How are you guys doing?
Good to see you guys.
How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for joining us today, all the way from Costa Rica, right?
So international.
Yeah. We are international.
National.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's awesome that you guys could join us. Thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate it. And we know you guys have busy schedules. And so we're excited to get into your book and talk more. So, Joni, tell us.
Yeah. So, I was just going to give you a brief bio on Jim and Jamie. So, Jim has and Jamie have become a leader in the movement to improve the education system for their children, which is a growing concern in many entrepreneur circles. Through sharing their own family's journey into alternative education and his education matrix, Jim and Jamie show parents how to get involved in their children's education without feeling overwhelmed. Jim and Jamie's approach and tools give parents a roadmap to ensure their kids are learning the most important lessons rarely taught in school. Oh, and Jim, I hear you're an avid surfer, right? And enjoy traveling with the family and friends, especially his beautiful wife, Jamie, and their four children, Alden, Leland, Maggie, and Sammy. Jamie's greatest adventures to date is donating a kidney to the greatest guy on the planet, his father. That's awesome. So we'll get more into that. I'd love to hear your story. And of course, the book, The Family Board Meeting. You have 18 summers to create a lasting connection with your children, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you guys know that as you're making your way through with your son and daughter.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us more about your background, your story. Every successful person has a story. So I'd love to hear you guys' story. And then a little bit about the book. What kind of, got you to writing this?
Oh, yeah. Well, when Jim and I met each other, he not only fell in love with one person, but with three people. And I think about this often and I just think, wow, you really have, like, that doesn't just happen, right? To become a blended family and a beautifully blended family isn't common. And so I'm super grateful for the fact that when we met, I had just come out of a very bad situation. My sons and I had full custody and all rights to my boys. And I had just finished building the only public charter Waldorf school in the state of Florida. It's still there 9 years later. And as we became a family, he developed these systems going from his entrepreneur education, taking my alternative education, and just formulated some ways in which we could go deeper, be more bonded, come together as a family. And as we started sharing these frameworks and our story, people wanted to know more. People kept saying, oh, you should talk about this. Oh, you should write a book. And then we did. And then it got some traction. And then, I mean, it just became an entire movement. And it was really a beautiful becoming, you know, really taking our wound and making it something powerful, passionate, and a purpose to help other families enjoy the time that they have and be a light for that.
Yeah, it's all, I commend you guys for, you know, for number one, writing the book and putting such a focus on families. And it's just like our story, and we try to tell people, like, you can use a negative situation, and if you've overcome it and found ways to better yourself or better your relationship, and you, like you guys have, with bettering your relationships and connections with your children, and then using that to help other people, I think it's awesome. So
it's been an adventure.
Yeah. And even so Sean and I, when we would first read this, we're like, wow, we had to think about that for a second. Like, we really only have 18 summers left, you know? And I'm like, tick tock. I mean, it's going by fast.
It's the best math equation I was ever taught, because we don't, you know, with us all being real estate investors, we get into more sophisticated math.
Yeah.
But that simple subtraction, it makes you think. And, you know, the studies show 85%, the average person will spend 85% of the time they ever have with their children by the end of the 18th summer. Mm-hmm. So when my mentor said this to me, it hit me. Because remember, first of all, like you guys, I know, are doing the math right now for your 7-year-old and your 11-year-old.
Right.
Going, wait a minute. They're only 7. I only have 11 left. 11's not a lot. That it should be like way higher. And it did the same for me, you know, especially adopting at 7 and 5, mm-hmm. my oldest, and now I'm going on to have more children together. It still is always in the back of my head. And I never want to stop my real estate business from growing and flourishing. But I also have that math equation running in my head all the time, because it helps me make better decisions and realize I'm not going to miss out on these years, because the years are not all equal.
Yeah.
That's so true. I mean, we have it in the back of our heads.
Yeah. And something that why it means a lot to Joni and I is because 2 years ago, we completely, you know, we haven't practice what you guys teach in the book yet, but and we're going to implement it right away. But what we did was we took a whole month off, and we shut off our cell phones, we shut off Slack and all our email and all that. But we went to Hawaii with our kids for a full month. Business ran fine, and everything took off, nothing happened. But it was, our kids today still talk about that trip as their best experience. They still, we went to Jamaica and Hawaii. Those are still by far their favorite places. And I don't think it had anything to do with the location as much as
the time.
Yeah.
And time spent with them.
And their parents were present. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why don't we do this more often?
Yeah. But,
yeah. So.
We have that famous saying that I forget who gave it to us, but the way a child spells love is T-I-M-E.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of merit to it. It's a simple saying, but some real power to it.
Power. Yeah. So tell us about the book. What got you to write it? Can you get a little bit into it? What is the family board meeting and share some more there?
Well, Jamie and I, when we got together again, the boys and I hit us off famously, but when you're coming into a blended family in the life at 7 and 5, and as you guys understand very well, running a real estate investment company, you know, there's a lot of moving parts.
Right.
I remember saying, I'm not going to miss out on a relationship mm-hmm. with these children. And the first Christmas we were together, Jamie and I made these quality time coupons. And we said, okay, they each unwrapped them. They said, oh, what are these? And we said, okay, you're going to cash one of these in every quarter. And they're like, what's a quarter? Of course, you know, it's 75. They say every 90 days you get to cash it in. And it's a gym day. Because remember, this is before they were even calling me dad. I said, it's a gym day. You guys get to choose, you design it. I'm going all in. I'm turning my phone off. It's all about you and I having time together. And they're like, wow. And they bought in, you know, hook, line, and sinker right away. Mm-hmm. You know, in that first year, especially with my oldest, the things that we saw develop and nurture and change in him and challenges he had had was awe-inspiring. And so in watching that, Jamie said, we need to share this. Like, what's happening here is this is a regrounding that other entrepreneurs can use. You've been asked to write a book. And just these quarterly days I started to spend, half day to a full day with each of my adopted sons, we saw that if people would just put this one rhythm in, it wouldn't get them all the way there, but man, it could help stop that disconnection. You know, the all of us have seen at so many successful events where, yeah, their balance sheet is big and they're getting all sorts of awards, but their home life is suffering. Mm-hmm. And this one strategy has helped thousands of entrepreneurs now.
Wow. And so do you get your kids involved with kind of, you know, organizing the board meeting?
Oh, yes, most definitely. So the children get to plan the day. That's what's the best part about it. That's where the buy-in comes in, is when you let them know we're going to spend a day together and you get to design the day. Because as you can imagine, as children get older and cooler mm-hmm. and you become older and less cool.
I haven't been cool in years.
I thought I'd get better as I age. I've
not laughed at one of my jokes in at least 5 years. So just
But they still look forward to the fact that they get to do anything, you know. So when we're in Costa Rica, we get, you know, they go deep sea fishing, or when we're in the Keys, deep sea fishing, or our younger ones get to have new, different experiences, riding four wheelers through a jungle, this type of stuff. And so they get super excited to do things that we don't do every single day. Mm-hmm. And so the buy-in is huge when you're like, okay, you get to choose, and I'm going to do whatever it is that you say we're going to do, whether it's play dress up, be a princess, which has been before.
I love it.
Absolutely. Yep.
So absolutely that's really where the buy-in comes in, because even if the relationship needs a little bit of work, or even if they don't see you as cool anymore, they really get excited to do the thing that they're interested in doing. And then it just goes from there. Then the connection happens, the time, the space. And by the end of it, you kind of come back home with a different child. And I'm always able to tell, I always tell him, our second of four, we can always tell. I'm like, ooh, is he due for a board meeting? He's a little sassy. You know, I can always tell when he needs that regrounding with his dad, especially. It's very interesting.
Wow.
It's very cool.
So it's not like the whole family goes and does an event. It's one-on-one, one parent, one child?
Yeah. So the most important thing, if I can impart anything to you guys, I know we've had lots of side conversations, but to all the people that listen to the Wolf's Den, one-on-one time is absolutely the most potent way to keep a family strong. And it's rarely practiced. You know, you have two kids, we have four kids. You have to have that one-on-one time mm-hmm. to separate the parts of strength and the whole. That could be you guys having date night, me having one-on-one time with my oldest. You know, we have a 17-year-old down to 4-year-old. The conversation with a 4-year-old is very different than the 17-year-old. And if you don't get one-on-one time, a 4-year-old's conversation could dominate. You know, the same way with you know, your son being a little older to your daughter being younger, mm-hmm. it can get maybe weaned over to her. And what I found is one-on-one time puts the magnifying glass on a relationship in a positive way, and it slows things down. And it really does make a huge difference in the strength of the entire family when you take it with each person.
So do you guys have, you know, like, I guess you have four different family days or four different events than each of you? Is that kind of how, or do you switch quarters, one parent?
Maybe every, I'll get too deep into it. Every quarter I do at least a day. Jamie does a day too, but when we first started this, the real concern was that me being the busy entrepreneur in the real estate trenches, mm-hmm. and I was already behind on quality time, that I really need to do it. So I think it's real important for both parents to do it. But if there's one busy entrepreneur who's more out of the home, I was traveling quite a bit for our real estate business at the time, it was really important for me to do it. But I want to do a half a day a quarter at a minimum with each one of my children. I do a half a day. I mean, I do an overnight with Jamie every quarter and a date night every week. But these are a couple of the rhythms that we set along the same principles.
Awesome. Just get started. So explain what in the book you define as a true connection between a parent and a child. And then could you get into a little bit about what a board meeting or what a date night or a date day looks like? You know, kind of what the three different principles that you guys recommend to do on a date day?
Three steps.
Yeah,
do you three want steps.
That's what I was looking for.
If you want to go on.
So the three principles that we encourage that we started for these one-on-one days I started doing with my older sons and now do with all our kids, we bring these principles into a lot of the relationships in our family. And the three principles are this. The first one is what I hit on was the one-to-one principle. If you hear nothing else today, start spending one-on-one time with your spouse, with each of your children, and see what happens. See what happens. See the go from surface talk to below the surface talk, to more camaraderie, to that taking away that feeling of being a stranger. Mm-hmm. It really does with the one-to-one principle. The second principle is something I know you guys have heard me talk about, and that's intermittent tech fasting. You know, we've all heard of intermittent fasting. You know, it's great for rejuvenating the body, weight maintenance, weight loss. You know, we all want to stay in good shape. This is relational good shape. Mm-hmm. Not telling you cannot, like you said before, you turned off your phones for a month. I mean, that's huge. Why did you do that? And why did you say that to us before? Because it was a big deal. We all know that one text, that one Facebook thread, that one call at the wrong time can show that our family is not priority and something else is. Mm-hmm. And what I found is with our intermittent tech fasting, there are times where we are completely and totally unavailable so that we can be there with what's right in front of us. So when I'm spending these days with my children, when I'm doing an overnight with Jamie or a date night with Jamie, my phone, my laptop is sure as hell not invited. Because mm-hmm. guess what? You're gonna have that, and that didn't work well. And I know lots of entrepreneurs are guilty like that with me. And Jamie had to point it out to me pretty directly a few times, and I needed to hear it. So intermittent tech fasting is the second one. And the third one, is just fun activity with focused reflection. And for all alternative education people out there, fun activity with focused reflection is the shortest definition for experiential education. When you let your kids plan a day of adventure, it is experiential education. And basically, you let them plan the day, go all in on the fun activity, probably break bread together, have a meal, and at the end, spend a little time having a talk. Now, this is not a time to have 50 lectures planned for how your children need to improve their life. Don't do that. But it's a time where you might be able to offer a sincere apology because you've been short, you've been missing, you haven't been around. You can offer a sincere compliment saying, hey, I've seen you've been working really hard in this or helping someone with this, and just have some light conversation to go to a deeper level. And those are the three principles. And if you start to put those three principles into your marriage, you start to put those principles in with each of your children, I don't know what happens, but your family life becomes more powerful, more strong, more meaningful. And that's what we want to see for a lot of entrepreneurs out there.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And Jim, I want to like get into, because I know that I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of people struggle with that. And as entrepreneurs, like for our listeners out there, like, you know, wanting to implement something like this, like how do you get started? What's the first step? What should they be doing, you know, first to try to get there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we do get asked that a lot. You know, the two questions we get asked the most, when do you start and how do you start?
Yes.
And really, we started at about 2.5 with our younger ones. And it just, I mean, who at 2.5 doesn't want to just have time with their parents, right? At that age, it's a much shorter duration. We found, you know, a toddler can go about 2 hours.
They wouldn't make it 4 hours. We said 2.5 hours
right.
in.
And board meetings started, like our 2-year-old at the time, all he wanted to do was go to Target and pick out popsicles. That was what he wanted to do for his board meeting because he, being the fourth child, he was never the one to get to pick out the popsicles. And so that was what he wanted to do on his board meeting. So we went to Target, picked out the popsicles, went home and ate them all. Like that was a whole thing.
And it's his day, right?
And so he felt like a king. And so it really shows you that perspective into your children, really who they are. Because I would have never known this child's favorite flavor or that picking out a stinking popsicle is the most important thing in the world to him, but you really get to see those nuances of your children. And so, you know, that's about the age that we start is about 2.5. And we start with about 2 or 2.5 hours. The older children, you know, as you're introducing this, if you have older children and you're listening, it's really just a light conversation of, hey, I'd really like to spend some time with you. How about we hang out? You don't have to say, well, I read this book. There's 3 steps.
That's going to put it on the way. And that's
kind of like, there, no thanks,
Dad. The team will run for the hills.
So really, it's a great way of just saying, I'd love to spend more time with you. How about this Saturday? What would you like to do? Just us, you know? And it's just as easy as that conversation. What else is great is you'll find when you put this one principle into place, as Jim said, we now have lots of things that happen on this quarterly basis or this weekly basis, you know, taking these three principles of being one-on-one. So not only during our family board meeting are we one-on-one, but we're also one-on-one on date night. Mm. We're also one-on-one on our overnights. Mm-hmm. We're also, you know, and then the tech distancing. We have 2 hours a night at dinner where everyone has to turn off their phone. Tech fasting. We also say tech distancing.
Yeah.
And so just finding, you know, using these three principles in the board meeting with your children one-on-one, but then seeing as you get that rhythm rolling and that going, you're like, oh, I could do it here and then there. It's just like anything. Once you get it in motion, you start to find other ways to utilize the same principles and see it multiply results.
Yeah. And they will work. But the number one thing that Jamie and I have seen time and time again, starting with me in the very beginning, the reason this fails is because you don't schedule it. You have to put this on your schedule. Like if we were meeting you guys at a mastermind like we have before, mm-hmm. we have it on the schedule, right? It's mm-hmm. right, we're traveling to San Diego or Florida. We're meeting here on these dates. And it's very clear. If you are going to have a day with your spouse or your children, it has to be on your calendar. All my teams know, oh no, he's not available. And when you get it on the calendar, it happens. When you don't, it never seems like you can fit in. But if you actually pull it in the calendar, then it's like, hey, this is a very important meeting and I'm not missing it. And that makes all the difference. Once people start scheduling it, it happens.
That's cool. Great.
And it's so simple, all this stuff. And it's like, we still don't do it. But it's awesome. I was curious, you know, when you guys talk, I think in the book, your kids became like better leaders or better communicators through this process. Can you explain how that evolves, or is it just them being able to express themselves and their emotions and you walking through that? Is that how they're able to become better communicators and connectors with people?
I think that when you allow the space for your children, I mean, same thing with your spouse, right? If you give them the floor, they're going to take the space and eventually learn this is a safe time in which I can communicate, which I can share. And think of the confidence that you gain as a person when another individual cares enough to ask you questions about yourself or cares enough to spend time alone with you. You know, the type of confidence that that gives you is really not something that you gain from someone else, somewhere right. else. It's a parent, you know, or your spouse, those most important relationships when someone comes to you and says, I just want to spend this time with you. And I believe in creating these chunks of time in this space where you can really open up, it lends itself again to more times in which you can be confident, more times in which you can speak up, more opportunities to say things like, I'm sorry, or a compliment, or a need, or a desire. And through these board meetings, we really have found what our children are passionate about, because if you notice, they start asking to do the same thing when they're one-on-one time. So for our oldest, it's fishing. So every time, oh, I want to go fishing with dad. Oh, I want to rent a boat with dad. Oh, I want, and it was had something to do around the water and or fishing. And so we realized, okay, this kid really likes fishing.
Right.
And now fast forward, you know, we, every time we had an opportunity, we would just pour in for him to learn more about that. And now he's almost 18. When he turns 18, he has enough mentor hours to become a professional licensed captain.
Oh, cool.
And so, you know, things like this just lend itself to greater connection, greater communication, and really seeing and developing those passions for your children and your spouse.
Yeah. And from what I've read, it sounds like, you know, it's time too where both sides are being more vulnerable, which I think, you know, a lot of relationships sometimes don't do or frowned upon. But I think you guys are, it's a safe space to be more vulnerable, either with your spouse or your kids, or they can be vulnerable with you. Which I love. And I think that's something that I always live by. But
yeah. So I have a quick question. So if this is even, I don't think work-life balance really exists, but if it did, how do you guys, you know, Jim, I know, how do you balance, you know, work life and family? And also what advice would you give, you know, others out there, listeners out there to balance it? You did say scheduling was a big thing on for you.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, Joni, is there's been a big entrepreneurial myth and lie. Like there's this badge of honor saying I put in 95 hours last week. And I think that's great, but what if you only had to put in 50?
Yeah.
So what I've found is when I've put a stake in the ground of scheduling like Wednesday nights, 5:30, 8:30, that's date night. I'm not available for a podcast. I'm not available for a client call. I'm not available for an investment, nothing. And if you'll just plant a few rhythms into it, like starting with date night, starting with one meeting with your whole family over the weekend, and then starting with spending a day, a quarter with each of your kids. If you just start with that, it's going to start to harmonize things. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about rhythms, like, oh man, I got to set 25, 30 rhythms into my life to make family life work. That's not true. What I would say is, first of all, realize that there is no shame in spending time with your family. I almost felt guilty, like, man, I should be working in the real estate business more. This is, you know, that's my job to provide. I need to be there more. You know, you guys know what that feels like.
For sure.
But it's saying, what I've learned is, to skip over to a story, one of our clients years ago, he had a very successful marketing company, went through really tough times, lost a marriage. And as he was putting together the pieces and he started to use our strategy, he brought something profound to me. He said, my daughters came to me, and he's back on his feet now and doing well, but his daughters, who were in their late teens at the time, when he started to spend time, they said, Dad, don't you ever understand that it's not all of that we wanted. We wanted you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was a blessing and a curse to hear that.
Right.
So I think that if we can just start to remove some of that programming we all probably got, where it was like, hey, you're going to be a real estate investor, you got to be grit and tough and get in the trenches. And I agree with all that. But some of them also said, put your head down for the next 5 to 10 years And basically your family will understand and you catch back up with them. I think that's awful advice. Right. I mean, it's terrible advice. Mm-hmm. As your business grows, you got to grow your family alongside with it. And there is no shame in that. And you should put a stake in the ground to start doing that right now without apology and without fear that the mm-hmm. business is going to fail. I'm more motivated now to do well in my real estate business and our education company than ever because I get these quality times with our family. And I guarantee when you guys got back from Hawaii, you probably had one of the best work quarters of your life after you got back because you were just so on fire, so on purpose, so motivated, so refreshed, so invigorated. You know, it's anyway. So I think that's what you have to do is change your mindset of family has to get what's left over. Let them be side by side with the business.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, we, you know, oftentimes us as entrepreneurs, like we think we can do it better ourselves, you know, and so we just work harder and harder. When we took that month off, like, yeah, it took some time to prep for that. Like, who's going to take over? But then sure. Once you let that go, like, man, it's like, why didn't I do this 2 years ago? Right? Yeah. I'm sure you say no a whole lot, which that's something that Sean and I have learned too, is that you just you have to say no at times, you know, if it doesn't fit in your buckets, ours are spiritual, you know, family, and you know, business, if it doesn't fit in our buckets, then we're not doing it. And I'm sure you're the same.
Exactly.
I always say, if you look at your values and then you look at your calendar, see if they align. And if mm-hmm. they don't align, you're not living mm-hmm. your values.
Right. Sure. Good point. Love that.
And something we just never understood is why, like, and it took us a while to get there, but I mean, why have it all and all this money and possessions? And then if your marriage isn't, you know, great, or your relationship with your kid, what does it matter to have all that stuff? So I'd rather, much rather have a dynamic relationship with my wife. And then that, you know, and anytime that Joni and I are suffering, the kids see it too. And so like, we focus a lot on each other so that we can have a great relationship with our kids too at home. So the whole family dynamic is strong.
Something that we like to ask all of our guests is, you know, you guys have an incredible family life, and you know, you guys are with your spouse and everything. But what's your next? You know, now. Next 5 years, what do you think? What's your next?
Well, they just moved to Costa Rica, so they're not, they got something
there's
going
so
right.
Much.
Yeah. We're definitely going to be splitting time between Florida and Costa Rica. We really love it down here. And I think our next is going to go deeper into what we're already doing. I really believe in our real estate investment company. It's going to continue to flourish and grow. But we've been having some pretty big God winks, we call them, over the last few months, where we're going to start getting deeper into things we taught years ago of family retreats and more workshops in support of entrepreneur family life. Because, man, we've just seen there's a lot out there that can help grow your business, but not a lot out there that can help grow your family.
Right.
Alongside it, you know, especially for entrepreneurs, because we're a different breed. So that's mine. I mean,
we definitely feel like we're hitting a stride and coming into flow. You know, we're at 10 years in our education company now, mm-hmm. and it's something that we're seeing, you know, this door in Costa Rica like blew open. It was so interesting that, you know, we told you earlier, we were on the way to the airport and our realtor friend called and said, I know you didn't ask, but I have an answer. We've got this house that I think is yours because the people moving out were just like you, but older, and, you know, all these reasons. And it had to have been in a perfect alignment for it to even happen. And so, you know, 48 hours later, we had a house in Costa Rica. And I told Jim, I said, it was so easy. I can't even be nervous. I just know that that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And we keep finding alignment like that, mm-hmm. I think, more than ever in our life right now through service and contribution, things that we're doing in our community, through moving, you know, part-time here to Costa Rica, the connections that we're making. We just truly feel like this is going to be a big piece of our story. And that's really exciting. We're also, the door is also open at a possible international adoption for us. And we don't know what that looks like either. And so we're just really, we're open to whatever flow has for us, but we are super excited because it feels like it's it's here.
Yeah. Well, I truly believe that you guys are helping, you know, families out there, and ours included. I know that we're already talking about, okay, what next quarter we're scheduling, this coming up quarter, we're scheduling family board meetings. So for our listeners out that are listening to this, I mean, there's some, like Sean says, it seems simple, but getting started is probably the hardest part, right? So you don't have to get it right. You know, but get it started is
correct.
There it is. Doesn't have to be possible over perfect. That's what we always say.
Yeah. So. And using the time that you do have, you know, Jim mentioned earlier, super, you know, busy entrepreneurs, you feel like you have no time, but really it's about whatever you do have.
Yeah.
So we always ask, these are some questions that we ask all our guests. You know, Jim being in the real estate space, we love to ask, you know, real estate minds, if you were starting all over again, how would you get started in real estate, and what would you do to start out? Because we have a lot of people that are interested in getting into real estate that listen to our show.
If I was getting back started in real estate, Sean, I think the three of us talked about this at that roundtable the one time. I believe that I would do half the deals at twice the quality, especially in the first 5 years. I got really into that. Could I do 10 deals a month? Mm-hmm. And you know, if you do 5 okay deals, you know, and 4 bad deals, 1 good deal, well, then you kind of would have been better off just doing 1 good deal.
Right.
So I would go back to that and really, really go. And that was one thing I was good about, building relationships. You know, I have investors that have been with me since 22 years ago. So it's, I really continue to go even deeper into the relationships, and I would do half the deals at twice the quality for properties I personally owned.
That's great. And this is already a great book. So this is obviously, we're going to highlight this one, but any other books you recommend to listeners that have either stuck with you over the years, or some maybe recently you've read?
You have a couple good family books.
So family books, it depends on the age too. So we do a lot of alternative education with our children, as you know. For us as parents, one thing that was huge was Simplicity Parenting. It's a beautiful book. Talks about, you know, there's some principles there that you can use with your children, but also really reflecting on yourself too. And that's where we gained some of our, you know, that tech distancing, just knowing how electronics affect your brain, how sleep affects you. It's a great book for
easy
really,
read,
it's an easy
book.
Read and easy to implement. Our older boys, one thing that we really, a huge book, gosh, it's so hard to pick one,
so
top
many.
One, Outwitting the Devil, The Alchemist, teaching our boys that there is like a universal, you know, language in the world, and teaching them about, you know, financial intelligence through Richest Man in Babylon. So these are all ones that we enjoy ourselves, but that we've also shared with our teens as they go through this alternative education with us. And we try to hit those areas of financial intelligence, personal relationships, and
financial intelligence.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's
we had Tim. Yeah, we had Tim Bratz on the podcast a while back, and I don't know if you've seen, he's been rewriting those like
Richest Man in Babylon,
but they're the kids version. Yeah, mm-hmm. And for little
kids. Yeah, I taught him, and I had a call a couple months ago, and we just pinged back and forth on different ways to teach our kids. So yeah, that's an exciting.
That's cool.
That's great, because that's what's needed out there. So for sure, and those are great books. And yeah, we'll put that all in the show notes. How can our listeners get involved with you?
Go ahead.
Do you know?
Best way is to check it out at 18summers.com. Perfect. Instagram, this is our Instagram queen. So
18summers tribe is our Instagram. But you can find all of our social media stuff on 18summers.com. We also have a podcast, a parenting podcast, where we bring in all sorts of successful entrepreneurs and just listen to their top tips as they relate to your family. So that we have a lot of fun doing that.
Yeah, awesome. Great. And you can get the book on Amazon, I'm assuming?
Yep, you can. Right now on our website, I think you can download the first chapter for free and get, you know, make sure that it works for you. I think there may also be a PDF of the book, or, you know, like an online book that you can read that's at a discounted price from the paperback. So
cool. And then you guys later this summer or this year will be starting up your retreats again, correct?
Well, we started our retreats again. We had a few in the works that all got canceled because of COVID. But we're just talking about putting a few more on the calendar. So we'll let you guys know for sure and others. And but that will probably be here in Costa Rica. So
you can always opt into our email list and find out as soon as those get planned.
Start to come out.
Perfect. We will for sure be there once those open back up.
Definitely in Costa Rica. So, yeah.
It's an easy sell. Yeah. And there's direct flights from Texas.
We really appreciate you guys being on today and taking the time. I know you guys have a lot going on and a busy family life. So we really appreciate it. If there's anything we can ever do for you guys, please let us know.
You guys have been great. We appreciate you supporting. And the one thing that I would remind is, and we always remind ourselves, there is no perfect family. I don't know who put that saying together, perfect family. We don't want to strive for that. That puts a lot of pressure on us as parents, our kids. It's not about perfection. It's about bridging our imperfection, making the most of our time. There is no perfect family. We're definitely not one, but there are ways that you can better enjoy each other. So hopefully this helped.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. Jim and Jamie, you have been awesome. And thank you guys.
Yeah. So please share this, like this podcast, rate it. We would love to get your feedback and we'll see you all next week.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there. Talking. But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.